Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in and feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for BetQL Daily with Joe Ostrowski and Ross Tucker, breaking down all the betting angles you need to put money in your wallet.
I like the Cavs getting 2.5 points against Houston. Yeah. Cavs are the dog. I don't know why Houston is favored. They've lost 8 consecutive games. When Christian Wood is out, they've been terrible. They've been losing straight up to a lot of bad teams. I like Cleveland getting the points at home, even though they are in a back-to-back. So I will be backing the Cavaliers.
Oladipo toward the bucket. That was altered by Okoro. Back come the Cavaliers. Garland's on the run. No look to Sexton with a finish. Opened up this 106-89 lead.
On the BetQL Audio Network.
Joe Ostrowski, Ross Tucker with you for the next 3 hours today. Bunch of fantastic guests, as always, here on BetQL Daily, part of the BetQL Audio Network. In about 20 minutes, we'll check in with our very own Tom Casale from BetQL to break down college hoops. A terrific card this evening. We'll have an extended conversation like we usually do with former NBA general manager Ryan McDonough. A lot going on in the association. We got the second half schedule yesterday. The all-star teams are all set. And one guy that was snubbed, no longer snubbed, Devin Booker. I know McDonough is a fan of the NBA making that move. John Heyman will be here to talk baseball as we inch closer and closer to opening day. Alex Moretto on the NHL. Executive producers Jake Galley and Dylan Burns, new Eli Herskovich. Once again, thank you so much. Our board up, Jake Hassan in downtown Chicago. Ross Tucker, how you feeling this morning?
I'm feeling great, Joe. I miss you. You know, when I only do it once a week, I get fired up for these Thursdays to be on with you. I do follow the show during the week, you know, when I'm not on, see what the other guys are saying. I noticed with Tom Casale being on, I suppose that means that Eli is ducking me today. That Eli, either did we finally fire Eli, or is he just ducking me? Watch Eli be out every Thursday moving forward.
So the explanation I got is some secret operation that he can't talk about, that he's very busy. He's out for 3 consecutive days. I have no idea what it is. Maybe he's ducking your friends that are texting you about his picks. Maybe I didn't even see if he had one yesterday, if he tweeted one out. I'm not even sure about that. So I can't even reference his record from last night to have some fun with him. Maybe you saw it in a text message, but I'm not even sure what he did in college hoops yesterday. He is not showing up right after Alabama was crushed last night against Arkansas, and he's been pumping up the Crimson Tide all season.
Well, listen, That one thing you can count on Eli for is being unnecessarily secretive. Like anything that happens with, you know, the BetQL Daily, BetQL Network, it's like he treats it like it's state secrets.
I know.
And if somehow the information got out, the world would crumble. Like, dude, I just want to know what time the show starts.
Yes. Just a little thing. How many people are listening? Like, who's my co-host tomorrow? Like, yeah, that's something I should
You're
know.
On a need-to-know basis, Joe, and you will know by 10 a.m. tomorrow Eastern. I mean, it's he has a unique leadership style, that is for sure.
Yeah, I guess so. Have you met a worse liar in your life?
Like, absolutely not.
He's so bad at it.
No, I think the best part of Eli, first of all, he's a terrible liar. Second of all, have you ever heard Eli say, "My bad, my fault, I was wrong"? Have you ever heard any semblance of personal responsibility or accountability, which are pretty important traits in a leader? Hopefully he's listening or watching the show. let me just say this, okay? And this is just a word to the wise, all right? I know we've got some young guys, Jake Galley, Dylan Burns, love them both. Two things I'll say, Joe, and you probably agree with me, okay? Mm-hmm. The smartest, most successful people I know, okay, freely admit both when they are wrong and when they don't know something. Think about that. The smartest people I know, the most successful people I know in a million different walks of life, freely admit when they're wrong and or when they don't know something. You know why? Because if you're confident and you're successful or whatever, you're not, you don't have the insecurity, right? Like, you don't have the insecurity to say, oh, they're going to think I don't know that. Like, I'll admit, right. I say on here all the time stuff I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, when we're interviewing guys about golf betting or whatever, like, I admit all the time stuff I don't know. And I just think people appreciate that and respect that. Like, there's a lot I don't know, and I don't pretend to know it.
There are things that none of us know, but a lot of people do pretend. Okay, to answer your question from a moment ago, what the closest he'll come to saying his fault or he was wrong in a situation is, that's fair. Like, no, it's not fair. You're wrong. I'm right. This has to change. Don't say fair. That's fair.
My favorite. And this is amazing. This is like, I love the rundown that Jake Galley put together. First 15 minutes, just rip Eli Hershkovich in every way you can come up with. I'm not mad at Jake for putting that on the rundown. But no, in all sincerity, even when he loses a bet, he argues why it was actually the right side 100%. And then like blames either the refs or the players.
Every time,
it is not my fault Rutgers lost. Okay, Rutgers was the right side to be on. They just didn't shoot well. The team they played did shoot well. Well, yeah, that's kind of part of basketball. Like, kind of a big part of basketball is the whole shooting thing. But I have to tell you this, but it's just unbelievable. Like, just be like, I was wrong. I was totally wrong. Like, anyway.
That's Ross Tucker. I'm Joe Ostrowski. This is BetQL Daily on the BetQL Audio Network here weekdays 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern Time on 1430 live in Denver, 8 to 11 a.m. Mountain Time, radio.com app. Follow us on Twitter at BetQL Daily. Ross is at Ross Tucker NFL. I'm at Joe O670. Download the podcast. Make sure you are subscribed, radio.com, Spotify, iTunes, and you can watch us, radio.com/BetQL-Daily. Ross, let's start with the NBA. Big story last night was the Lakers and the Jazz. And it was mind-blowing 24 hours ago to see that LeBron James was an 8.5 to 9 point underdog. And LeBron James's club was never close to covering that point spread. Per usual, the Jazz just raining in threes all night. Bogdanovich hit 5 of them. Conley and Clarkson each hit 4 of them. That's how they've been winning a lot of games all season long. And now the Lakers have lost, 4 of 5 without Anthony Davis. Bunch of double-digit losses. And the crazy thing to me, and it's not just PointsBet, it's every sportsbook that I've seen, Ross, LeBron James is still the betting favorite to be the MVP. Right now, at PointsBet, he's plus 190, and be the second favorite, plus 250. Jokic, he's plus 400. Then you've got Curry, Luka, Giannis, KD, Kawhi, Lillard, and Harden. And maybe I'm being a prisoner of the moment, and I'm overreacting. LeBron lost the second best player on his team. Maybe some would argue right now that he's actually the best player at this stage in their careers. But it is wild that we wake up today after the Lakers losing 4 of 5 without AD, and LeBron James is still the favorite to be the MVP. There's no way he should be the favorite.
Who do you think should be?
I'd put Embiid there.
That's interesting to me, because my frustration with Embiid, who's been unbelievable, is just how many games he's missed.
Yeah.
Has LeBron missed any?
Let me check. But they're losing now. That's the problem I have.
Embiid's missed like at least 8 games, right? I'm sure Galley knows. My boy Jake Galley knows.
I know he knows.
I think he's missed like at least 8 games. And in a weird way, though, Joe, this is like diabolical by Embiid, okay? When he misses games, the Sixers lose, which just kind of reinforces how valuable he is. So, like, what's the argument here? Is the argument that him missing games shows how valuable he is? Or is him missing games making him less valuable because he's not playing in the games and need him to?
Yeah, that's going to be fascinating moving forward. There are other guys on the outside. So we've been talking so long about this that it's an argument of three: LeBron, Embiid, and Jokic. And I think that's kind of changed here. We can branch out a little bit. This thing is wide open. While I do say that LeBron should not be the favorite, I think so many guys, especially over the last week, have entered the conversation, like Steph Curry, Luka Doncic. If the Mavs get a decent playoff spot, Giannis, he's probably out. KD, he's probably out. He's missed too much time. But if the Clippers continue to have a great record this season, they go on a tear in the second half of the season. Again, Kawhi could be in the conversation. What Dame Lillard is doing, just holding the Blazers up pretty much all by himself, maybe he should be in. And now people are starting to bring up James Harden. If the Brooklyn Nets are going to be the best team in the NBA, and that's certainly possible, Harden's leading them right now. Problem is, KD's going to come back.
Well, correct. And here's my question. I know we're talking a lot about the MVP and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, what do you think of the Utah Jazz, man?
Unreal, man.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, if you notice, especially in the NBA, but also in the NFL, you don't believe that a team can do it until you see them do it. Like, nobody is going to believe that the Utah Jazz can go to the NBA Finals and win it until they actually do it. But that's how people were about Golden State until they did it. That's how people were, you know what I mean? Like, unless you have LeBron on your team, nobody's going to believe, Joe, that the Milwaukee Bucks can go to the NBA Finals and win it, or the Sixers, until they do it. People even know that Giannis is good and that Embiid's good, the Sixers are good, but they just don't believe it. Now, they do believe it with the Nets because they have 3 superstars and they have Durant, who's done it multiple times, and Kyrie did it in Cleveland.
At some point, you have to buy in, unless you're just going to say they don't have a superstar, they don't have a top 10 player on the roster, and you can't win titles in this era like this anymore. You're never going to move those people. No matter what they do in the regular season, they're going to say they're peaking too early. When it comes down to it, when, let's say, LeBron is going one-on-one against somebody, or AD is healthy if they end up meeting the Lakers in the playoffs, or you've got Paul George rolling, same thing with Kawhi with the Clippers. You're right. Until they do it, nobody's going to believe. If you haven't bought in now, I mean, you're not going to buy in. You're not. But it's unreal what they've done.
They are the best team in the NBA. Do you agree? They are the best team in the NBA.
Yeah. Yes.
That doesn't mean they're going to win the whole thing, But dude, they're 26-6.
And they're covering the number every night. They're covering the spread every night. Doesn't
their
matter.
Win percentage is 813. Nobody yes. else is even above 700.
Quinn Snyder's won the coach of the year. It's over.
Correct.
Right? It's over. Because even if Brooklyn ends up, let's say they end up with the best record. Nope. They're not going to give it to Steve Nash. They say, oh, it's because of the trade you made for Harden. That changed everything.
Let me ask you this, Joe. This is unrelated a little bit. Who would you want? Forget all your bets, which I know is impossible to do. Who would you want to win the NBA Finals? So for me, it's obviously the Sixers. I'm a Sixers fan. But other than the Sixers, it would be the Utah Jazz or the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, it would not be the Nets or the Lakers or one of these teams that's brought in a bunch of guys. It would be like a homegrown team with Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. And I know they brought in Mike Conley, but you know what I'm saying? Like, a predominantly homegrown. I think that would be good for the NBA.
Most people would make the argument that the best thing for the NBA would be stars winning championships. And I would disagree, because there would be a large group of teams across the league that would think, okay, we can do it that way too. There are some markets that are never going to get a superstar unless they draft and develop that player. And the thinking now is, of course, you need at least two superstars to win if you want to be a viable candidate to win the championship. I think that would be really good for the NBA as a whole. It wouldn't be best for the ratings and maybe not best for the revenue, but the Jazz taking down possibly the Clippers and the Lakers, and then maybe the Nets. Oh, my God. Dude.
Oh, my. Dude, if the Jazz play the Nets, okay, other than the Sixers being in the NBA Finals, if the Jazz play the Nets, that is as much as I will care about the NBA and be rooting for a team. I like what the Jazz represent. I love Salt Lake City. I'm going out there next month, actually. I am not a fan of what the Brooklyn Nets represent on multiple levels.
And speaking of the East, somewhat near the top, the Celtics stink. And they lost again last night. God, are they terrible. Can't wait to talk about that with Ryan McDonough. Great slate of games tonight in college hoops. We're going to talk to Tom Casale next about Joe Ostrowski, Ross Tucker. You're locked into the BetQL Audio Network.